nervous as a long-tailed Tom in a room full of rocking chairs. But, hey, great to see you back, Rachel. And Doyle. Sorry, Doyle. Good to see you. And that's something I would ask that, yeah, we all keep Pastor in our prayers and Rachel's mother. I know Dom was really would love to be with us this morning, but let's keep him in our prayers. And I love that song because of what it emphasizes so much is how great the one that lives within us and how much greater he is than the one that lives in the world. And in today's situation, the world is getting that's so important to each one of us that we have the Holy Spirit and our God and our loving Jesus Christ in our lives to be with us and help us live as we should live in God's kingdom. So praise the Lord for that. Okay. This morning, I've chosen the title of my lesson is Sowing and Reaping. I heard a comment the other day that church is God's the audience and we're the ones that put on the program. And I thought about that quite a while. And in some ways, that's kind of true. You know, what we're doing here today is for God. And what we do today hopefully will bring honor and glory to God. And so I can't think of any better place to be this morning than here in God's house. What an honor and privilege it is to be a part of that great church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, the lesson comes from Malachi chapter 3. And for all of you that aren't real familiar with Malachi, Malachi was a prophet whose name means my messenger. He was a contemporary of Nehemiah and most likely the last prophet of the Old Testament era. And what we're dealing with here today, the time period is the Israelites had been granted freedom to go back and rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And God totally provided for them. That was their mission. He took care of them. He gave them everything that they needed. And so, therefore, they set to it. But after the walls of the temple had been rebuilt in Jerusalem, the people were no longer giving their tithes. They had broken the Sabbath, and they had intermarried with foreigners, and the priests had become corrupt. So what was basically happening after they had gotten to the point where they had built the walls is they were starting to care more about themselves and their own desires, and they were taking for granted everything that God had blessed them with in the work that he set them out to do. They no longer trusted God. Their worship became degenerated. Several of the sins are condemned by Malachi. He rebukes their doubt of God's love and their faithlessness of both the priests and the people. In other words, despite all he had given them and done for them, they had taken them all for granted and they were living for themselves. And we know as Christians how that works sometimes. Again, I like to repeat this because it happens so often in my life of growing up. And when I was allowed to kind of go my own way, my dad would say, how did that work out for you? And a lot of times I found out the hard way, but it was a good lesson. But that's what was happening to him at that time. So today we're going to talk about one of the sins that Malachi was rebuking them for. And that's the word everybody loves to hear is tithing. So, tithing, what is it and why is it important to God's children? I think one of the first things I'd like to say here before I start is, first of all, this isn't about begging for more money, so to speak. This is about understanding what tithing is all about and understanding why it's important. And I would like to thank so many of you for your dedication and for the funds that we have and do receive here, that we have some very good givers in this church, and I thank you. What is it and why is it important for God's children? Well, first of all, tithing is scriptural. We're told to give back a portion of our income to God for his work. In other words, God provides for his people through his people. And also, it reveals that we have a true heart for God. All that we have is a gift from God, therefore, a tithe is a mere portion of what he's already blessed us with. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about tithing in the Old Testament, tithing in the New Testament. Tithing in the Old Testament, we remember, the people didn't have the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was present, but he wasn't present in each individual person. So therefore, that's why they were given the laws of God. To know and understand God's will, they needed the law. And part of the law was tithing. The other part was 10%. 10% was given as a goal for them to meet. In the New Testament, that changed a little bit. When we become born-again Christians and accept Christ as our Savior, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is our guide in our life. Now, tithing is important, and the Holy Spirit is there to guide us with it, and we need to do it because, and the reason that we do it is because it's scriptural, and we are being obedient, and we are honoring God when we do it. And you can't lie to God, and you can't lie to the Holy Spirit. They both know exactly what we have. They both know what we can afford to give. They both know and guide us in what we should be giving. The rest is up to us. But instead of being tied to the law and being tied to that 10% figure, what it should do in us is set a strong desire to give back to God because of how much he's blessed us with and how much that he has given, and the fact that we are bringing honor to God through our tithing. It's basically about generosity and giving. Our giving should be motivated by our love for Jesus Christ, to support his people and the church and its work. What is the purpose of the tithe? Why would God ask believers to tithe? Let's read Malachi 3, 7 through 9. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you've turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But I ask you, how are we robbing you? In tithes and in offering. You're under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. When we give our tithe to God, we show him honor and acknowledging him as the source of all we have and also being worthy of our worship. The tithe provides for the work of the Lord. The tithe not only takes care of the church through the church house, but is intended to meet the needs of the poor and the disadvantaged. Thus why every Sunday we have a little basket out there. We collect money for our benevolence fund. And everybody understands what the benevolence fund is for. Anyone that comes to our church asking for assistance in need, we're able to help them. And that's part of what tithing is about. Acts 2:44-47 tells us when believers are faithful to tithe, the church can reach more people with the gospel and assist and the assistance that they need. Tithing is beneficial to our spiritual and financial health and also to the community. That goes back again to what I was saying about the benevolence fund. And the spiritual part of it, more than anything, first of all, it's scriptural tithing. So it shows obedience to God. It shows that we trust God. It shows that we have faith in God and we honor him through our giving. The tithe proves the faithfulness of God. When we tithe, the Lord promises to bless us. In Malachi 3:10, he says, "Test me now in this." Therefore, test him. Allow him to intervene in your finances, because we know he's absolutely trustworthy to keep his word and bless us. I think I can attest to that quite a few times over the years, that there's been times when you'd say to yourself, I don't know if I can afford it. I don't know if I can do it this week. I don't know if I can, but by trusting in the Lord, he always came through. He's always blessed me for it. And he always will. His word isn't there just to move the wind. His word is true. We can put our trust and faith in his word. What he says he will do, he will do. The tithe is a proper way to honor God. It is an appropriate way to express our reverence for the Lord. We give to honor God, and then we receive blessings. We don't give to receive the blessings. We give to honor God. And by doing so in that order, we receive blessings from it. And believe you me, he will bless you. We will never be in need when we obey God, because he will never let us down. Again, we can take comfort in this. Let's consider the promises when we joyfully give our tithe. And there's the key word, joyfully. Malachi tells us in verse 10, "I will open for you the windows of heaven." In other words, you will experience the Lord's provisions firsthand. God says, "I will pour out my blessings until it overflows." In verse 11, God says, "I will prevent pests from devouring your crop, and the vines in your field will not drop until their fruit is ripe." In other words, the Father will protect you and your possessions. In verse 12, "Then all nations will call you blessed. Yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord God Almighty." Again, when we give with faith and trust through obedience, I like to think of, if you put aside all the bad stuff in the United States, so to speak, I read a poll a while back that said the American people are some of the most generous people in the world. And over the years, the history of this country, the amount of help, whether it be financial, whether it be reaching out, is probably no other nation has ever come close to that. And a lot of nations, a lot of people from other countries see those blessings that God has bestowed upon us, because he has. He has truly blessed this country. And that's basically what that is saying, that the blessings that we receive from being obedient and giving back to the Lord will be present in our lives. The Lord will give you a powerful testimony among your friends and loved ones. Many will know him because of your obedience. Again, the Bible teaches us to live according to the will of God, live and pattern our lives after our Lord Jesus. And as we do that, it definitely shows in our life. It shows in our everyday action, shows how we react to different things. But it also shows that God has blessed us and truly blessed us as his children. And I think in my family, and I think back of so many times, so many blessings that he has given us above and beyond. You know, he blesses people a lot, even when people aren't real obedient about giving. But if you're not giving and you're not tithing and you're not obedient, you're missing out on so many more blessings. So that's, to me, why it is so important. Luke 6:38 says, "Give it and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Okay, pretty obvious. Give to the degree I have been blessed. So if you think about how much God has blessed your life and the many blessings that He's given you, that definitely should motivate you to give back a percent of what God has given to you. You can't outgive God. You can't ever outgive God. Let's talk about the consequences of not tithing. The consequences of our disobedience lead us to miss out on God's awesome blessings. The Lord says when we fail to tithe, we are robbing Him. It will lead us to be disobedient in other areas of our lives. In other words, we become complacent about other things. We will be outside the Father's protection, as it says in verse 11, and we will damage our testimonies because of our unbelief in what the Scripture tells us about tithing. So it's so important that we understand what tithing is all about. And as we talk to either young Christians or non-believers, and they ask us these things, we can explain them and tell them and show them how God has kept His promises, kept His word, and how He has blessed us. The Bible teaches us that God is the owner and provider of all that any of us possess. Since it all belongs to Him, it is incumbent that all be used for His purpose and His glory. We have a hard time a lot of times keeping that in perspective, but it's easy to pat yourself on the back a little bit about what I've done, and I've got this and I've got that, but you need to keep coming back to the fact that it all comes from God. If it wasn't for God, you wouldn't have anything. There's nobody smart enough in the world to be able to be where they're at without the blessings from God. Even though, you know, a lot of people in this world seem to do quite well, and they're not Christians, but they come somewhat under the umbrella of the blessings that God gives His people, and they're able to take advantage of that, so to speak. But it's important that we understand where it all comes from. God expects that we return a portion of what He gives to us as tithes and offering. According to Malachi, the people had been cured of idolatry but grew careless and indifferent in many things. Okay. Do we view the church as just buildings instead of the house of God to learn about Jesus and see our lives change? Do we think our hobbies and economic climate are more important than returning a portion of what God in His graciousness has given us? We give God a portion of our income to show that He has first place in our lives. Open your heart to receive His special blessings. God neither needs nor wants our money. What His desire is to have an intimate relationship with us, to bless and to teach us to depend on Him. And I think that's so important in our Christian lives, that we fully understand that we need to depend on God, and that we can, with faith and trust, depend on Him and know that He's there and He takes care of us. When we trust the Lord with all we have, He will change our financial situation and desires. Again, there's been some examples in my life where I can attest to that trusting in God has definitely changed by not only financial situations, but other important things in my life. One day His eternal kingdom will come, but in the meantime, we are to live as if He has already come. So that's telling us what? Yes, we all know one day His kingdom will come, but in the meantime, we are to live as if it has already come. And I've heard Pastor talk about this, and Pastor Dom has said, we need to live as though the kingdom has already come, and we're living in God's kingdom, not the kingdom on earth here. And that's what this is referring to, that we need to live in this world according to God's will and how God wants us to live. Along with tithing, the Bible teaches to be good stewards. Stewardship is a responsibility to manage all the resources of life for the glory of God and acknowledging God as a provider. God not only expects that we return a portion of what He has so graciously given us, as tithes and offering, he expects for all that we have to be used in ways that bring honor and glory to him. In 1 Peter 4:10, it says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in various forms. And we can get off on a whole other subject on this. The Bible tells us that giving is a spiritual gift that enables a believer to recognize God's blessing by generously and sacrificially giving of one's resources, time, talent, and treasure. And a lot of us have, and I hope we know and understand now, we all have spiritual gifts and we all have talents. And the Holy Spirit, a lot of times, will nudge us in places like me standing up here today. It wasn't long ago. There's absolutely no way, but the Spirit wouldn't leave me alone. And the Spirit doesn't give you a task and doesn't leave you hanging. He's with you. He guides you through it. He'll be there for you. And it's up to us as believers to, with the help of the Spirit, to search out those gifts and talents that we have and make use of them. He gave them to us, and we need to recognize them and use them. It should be a reflexive action by faith, asking God for the ability and the grace to give all we can joyfully. Let's read 2 Corinthians 9, 6-11. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Again, having a heart for God. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. There again, you see the importance of tithing. You see the importance of giving of our time and our talents. Again, the Scripture is very, very adamant about the importance of tithing and the importance of giving back to God and the importance of recognizing that it all comes from God and recognizing and understand we need Him in our lives. The God who is the ultimate source of physical food that sustains all human life is the same God who supplies the spiritual nourishment that enables believers to flourish and serve. By generously giving, it will extend beyond the church, causing widespread prayer and praise to be offered. I don't know. This is probably going to be a little different to all of you, but I'm getting close to the end here. Okay. In closing, I'd like to read Ephesians 2, 4, and 6. This really struck me, and hang on these words, because to us as children of God and His children, this really points out what a God we have and how awesome He is and what love He has for us and what a precious, precious gift this is to each one of us. Because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Jesus Christ. Man, it don't get any better than that, does it? So, the question we must ask ourselves today is, first of all, do we believe the Word of God? Is that a unanimous amen? Amen. Okay. Do we have faith that the Father will not only save us, but will also provide for our needs? Amen. We must trust Him with our tithe and watch as He provides for us and blesses us for our obedience. I was laying there the other night thinking a little bit. Don't roll your eyes now, but I have some wild thoughts sometimes at night. But when you talk about trust, everybody know what this is? It's silver, it's heavy, and you can buy things with it. But you don't see it very often anymore. It's a silver dollar. All right. Now, how do I know that? Well, it says that on one side. But what does it say on the other side? In God we trust. And that shows us the train of thought that our forefathers had when they made this and when they present and when they put this into production. And what they were saying is that it's the most important thing is that we trust God. This is a gift from God and we can use it, but we need to put our trust in God, not in this. And that's what they're, and unfortunately, I don't think that the mentality so much today is that way, but there's too many people that trust in the world. There's too many people that trust in this and make this their goal. But it is so important in our lives that we trust our Heavenly Father. Okay, like Pastor likes to say, the sting in the tail. The sting in the tail. Sometimes I'm not always sure what he means by that, but as Christians, we give our tithes and offerings from the increase God gives, realizing everything we have belongs to Him. We give back a tithe and beyond with an offering out of love and respect for Him. In other words, again, having a heart for God. Okay. Let's pray.